You are now listening to the all-new Shotgun Sports Podcast with your host, Justin Barker. We talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, world-class instructors, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
If you are looking to purchase Pro-Matic traps, give Rick Hemingway a call. Rick is the largest Pro-Matic dealer in the country and can handle all of your trap needs. His team can provide new and pre-owned units and service that is second to none. And they also have a huge rental fleet, so no job is too big or small. Not only does Rick set and design sporting clays courses, but he also offers turnkey services for skeet, trap, and five stand. Contact Rick today at backwoodsquailclub.com or call 843-546-1466. Welcome to another episode of Shotgun Sports. On the show with me today, I have two of the top women shooting in the NSCA. Before we get started, I'm going to call out some of the titles won by both of these ladies. Madison Sharp is a full-time college student at Clemson University and has been a four-time South Carolina State Ladies Champion. She was the 2019 NSCA Nationals Ladies Runner-Up and also won the 2019 Ladies K-Cup in San Antonio. She finished out 2020 with the Southeast Regionals FeeTask Ladies HOA. Rihanna Franz is a full-time college student at the University of Florida. She was the first female to shoot 200 out of 200 in trap at SCTP Nationals, the 2019 SCTP Lady National Champion, the 2019 SCTP Last Competitor Standing Champion, and was the first to win this 2 years in a row. The 2019 World English Lady 20-gauge and 12-gauge Champion, the 2020 SCTP Lady National Champion, the 2020 NSCA Lady National FeeTask Champion, the 2020 NSCA Lady National K-Cup Champion, and is now the 2021 Lady All-American Team Captain. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good.
How are you?
Good. I'm glad that I can get you both on at the same time. I know you're both really good friends, and I wanted to have you together on this podcast so we can just kind of kick some stuff around and see the way that both of you think about a lot of things that we do in the sport.
Yes, sir. I'm excited for this. This should be good.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So what we're going to do first, we got a lot of stuff to cover. I just want you to kind of introduce yourself, you know, how long you've been shooting, and name your top three proudest moments.
Well, I'm Madison Sharp, and I'm from South Carolina. I've been shooting for about 8 years, and my top three proudest moments would probably be in 2019 when I was runner-up at the NSCA Nationals in San Antonio, Texas. And then I would also say that my four-time back-to-back state championship ladies title in South Carolina. And then this past year, I've been really proud of my performance shooting-wise. I was lucky enough to place a couple of second and thirds in the mains and come out with a FeeTask win for the last regional.
Rihanna, tell us about yourself.
Well, my name's Rihanna Franz. I'm 19. I live in Florida. I've been shooting for roughly 4 years. And, gee, I'd have to say my top three proudest shooting moments are probably when I won the SCTP Lady HOA National Championship 2 years in a row, won the NSCA Lady National FeeTask Championship this past year, and was named the 2021 Lady All-American Team Captain.
Wow. Another set of proud moments that are pretty impressive there. That's, like I said, let's get into it. We got a lot to cover. But Rihanna, how did you get your start in shooting, and how do you think it's molded you into the way that you are today, or who you are today?
So I grew up hunting with my daddy, and we hunted deer, bear, hogs, birds, just anything, you know, you name it. And to practice for bird hunting, we would obviously shoot clays, and we became members at Quail Creek Plantation. And we shot there maybe once every 2 months or so just for fun. And that's actually when we came across the SCTP team, Young Guns of Quail Creek. And the rest is history. I joined the team and you know, I could write a 10-page paper on what shooting has done for me and how it's molded me into who I am today. But, you know, some of the main qualities that I've learned throughout this process is it's taught me perseverance, determination, bravery, confidence, poise, and time management. You know, I wouldn't be who I am or where I am today if it weren't for shooting. And for that, I'm eternally grateful.
Yeah. So are you a very competitive person?
You know, naturally, no. Sometimes, yes. That's kind of a tough question. When I need to be, I am, but I try to be, you know, happy and friendly with everybody. I'm not one of the aggressive competitors or anything like that.
When you, how about now when you go to shoot clays, are you better than everybody that you were practicing with to go kill birds?
Typically, yes.
I saw also on your Facebook page you holding a bow. Is that something you like to do as well?
Yes, sir. So a lot of people actually don't know this about me. Before I started competing in shooting, I was a competitive archer. I competed at the state national level, and it was really something to do with my daddy, and we go bow hunting as well. But as I started really getting involved in shooting, I kind of had to put the bow aside, but I still pick it up every once in a while, and we practice before we go out hunting and stuff. So yeah, I was a competitive archer before shooting.
Right. Madison, what about yourself?
Well, I would have to say I as well started off my shooting with hunting. I guess the first time I ever went hunting with my dad was I was about 5, and he took me duck hunting in Arkansas. It was very, very cold. I didn't complain. I loved every minute of it. I think I enjoyed playing with the dog more than anything. But so that's kind of where my shooting started off with hunting as well. And one day my dad just, me and him went and shot at our local sporting clays course, which is Live Oak Sportsman Club in Swansea. And from there I joined their youth team. Mr. Steve Bolt worked with me a good bit, and he helped me start my shooting career. And I really couldn't have done it without him or my dad. So I'm very blessed to be able to call, you know, all these people in my life, my coaches, my friends, my family. They've all really been there for me and helped me a tremendous amount.
All right. So let me ask you real quick. How did you two become friends? How did you meet and how did you become friends?
Well, we were both in the SCTP together, and I think Madison probably has a funny story for you, but we knew who each other were. We weren't super close in the SCTP. We really started becoming good friends this past year, actually, and we've been hanging out after shoots and really getting to know each other, and we've grown to like each other. We have a whole lot in common, mm-hmm. and it's fun rooting each other on and seeing each other at shoot.
Yeah. What's the funny story, Madison? Right. Is there a story we need to hear?
So me and Rihanna, we started off in SCTP, like she said before. We kind of knew of each other, but it never was more than, hey, how are you? But one day we were standing around at a tournament. We just kind of started talking to each other. And I said, you know, I thought you really just didn't like me because, you know, you're RBS. And,
hold on, because of what?
No.
Because of what?
Because of her RBS.
What? All right, is that code for something?
Yes.
am I supposed to know what this means?
Okay, maybe we should. Okay, Rihanna, what's this other word? I really want to say that on here.
What is RBS? Well, am I supposed to know what this is?
It's resting. You can figure out that B word and then fake. So like natural like relaxed face just it looks mean, and I swear, like, to those listening, if you ever thought for one second that I hate you or I was mad at you, I am so sorry. Like I can't control it, and I swear to God, every person that has come up to me that has become my friend, they're like, I thought you hated me. I thought you were so mean. I'm like, I promise you, I don't hate you. It's just my face. So, yeah, I'm very approachable. Just get past the face and you'll be okay.
Okay, so that's just your look. You're going to look like that. That's just the way it is.
That's just my look, yeah.
All right, so if somebody thinks that you don't...
I can't really help it.
If someone thinks you don't like them, you probably really do. You just don't look like you do.
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
So Madison, what coaches do you give credit for in helping you get to where you are today? And do you ever still call or text or whatever and get coaching advice from them?
Yeah, so I actually started off, like I said, when I was 11 years old with Mr. Seabolt. You know, I got to a point of to my shooting career where there was only but so far he could take me. So I started checking in some other coaches. I found a few more along the way, and then I finally found Wendell Cherry. I guess I started taking lessons from Wendell when I was about 14. Me and Wendell instantly clicked. I mean, it was just great. You know, I go out and we go shoot together for a couple hours, and we met up pretty regular. And then as I progressed with my shooting, you know, and got a little better, it got less and less. But I still do keep in touch with him. We text a lot, so that's nice to have that relationship between me and him. If I ever needed something to shoot or something like that, I could text him. I know he would be there for me. Same thing, vice versa. And then also recently, I've been shooting a lot with Jasper Copeland. And he's really helped me with my mental game. And he pointed out a few things that, you know, I could do better. And it's really helped my shooting overall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's whatever you're doing the right thing. So keep doing that. But Rihanna, what about you? I think you started down at Quail Creek, right? Shooting with...
So my sporting clays coach is Mike Luongo. He's been my coach from the very beginning and still is my coach to this day. And I really feel extremely blessed because Mike and I have developed a very special relationship, you know, and I don't see him as much, but he still is my coach. And I don't just see him as my coach. I see him as family. He's like an uncle to me, and I fully believe that his patience, kindness, and support has really propelled me in my shooting career and has encouraged me to work hard and grow an appreciation for the sport. While on SETP, I had to compete in trap, skeet, and sporting clays, and my trap and skeet coach is Joe Lloyds. He's become a very close family friend of mine and has really helped me excel in those disciplines as well. And also, the Young Guns volunteer coaches in SETP are incredible, and their dedication and time can't possibly go unnoticed. Unfortunately, as you all know, Mike has moved about 12 hours away from me. Mm-hmm. However, we still talk every day, and if not a couple times a week. And he still texts me words of encouragement before competitions and tournaments and keeps up with me. So it's not too bad, but yes, he still is my coach and will always be my coach.
No. Let me ask both of you this question. How did you both choose your coaches, or did you have any input in that?
So I guess for me, you know, I had been looking to find a more permanent coach, somebody who's going to kind of take me to the next level. Mr. Steve was awesome. Like, I still stay in contact with him and everything. And but I guess whenever I started looking, I started kind of, you know, asking around, talking to people, what they recommended. One of my teammates at the time, he was taking lessons from Wendell, and he was really good. His dad recommended him. So my dad got in contact with him, and from there, you know, we just started taking lessons from him. Either we go to Big Red Oak in Georgia or either Quail Creek in Florida to go get my lessons, and then that's really how we began, and that's to this day how we are. I'll go there and meet him, and we'll shoot together. He'll help me out, and he's just overall great, great man, great coach, and an even better friend.
So this is kind of a cool story. First day of Young Guns, orientation day, I was in ninth grade, my first day ever on the team, and they split us up, all the new shooters, into these little groups, and there were these different stations underneath the pavilion, the picnic table, and they would rotate us. So one station might be how to clean your gun, another station might be gun mount or gun fit and that sort of thing. So I'm in this little group my first day, and we pull up to Mike's station. And at the time, I had no idea who he was or who anybody was. And his station was gun mount and stance. So I'm watching all the other kids mount their guns, and he's nitpicking, you know, this is the stock's too long for you, or you need to lean forward more, yada, yada, yada. And I'm the last person to go. So I mount my Vinci Benelli duck hunting gun at the time, and he looks at me and he's like, it's perfect. I don't need to change anything. The gun fits you. Your stance is perfect. go get your dad for me. So I get my dad, and he pulls him aside, and he basically says, listen, I've seen a lot of shooters. I have never done this before, but I can tell that your daughter has a lot of talent, and I would love to coach her. And the rest is history. So from the very first day, he's been my coach, and he's really helped me get to where I am today.
So both of you were very active and successful in SCTP. What kind of time and dedication did that take? And what advice could you give to up-and-coming shooters that are in SCTP?
So I live about 2 hours away from the Sporting Clays range. So while I was in school, I could only practice on the weekends. Luckily, I did have a trap and skeet range about 20 minutes from my house. And that's the reason why I was so competitive in these disciplines during SCTP, because I could practice it a bit during the week while I was in school. I didn't really have the normal teenage girl life. My life literally consisted of school and shooting, and still does. And living so far from the range, I had to give up hanging out with friends and, you know, doing stuff like that on weekends. And I know I must sound so pathetic, but it's the truth, you know? And if you want to excel in something, you have to devote all the time you possibly can to it. So, I mean, that's my advice to up-and-coming SCTP shooters. You can't just count on team practices to get you at your best. You need to take control of the reins and do more than just the bare minimum.
I would definitely agree with Rihanna, you know. I would definitely say I'm lucky to have a skeet and trap range, you know, close to my house, about 15 minutes away. And then the Sporting Clays course is about 10 minutes away from my house. So I was able to practice a good bit. And I practiced, you know, maybe 5 days out of the week at the time, you know, whenever I was trying to get good, whenever I was trying to get, you know, be able to compete against other people, because I wanted to win. I mean, just like everybody else does. But in order to win, you have to put in the time and the dedication, and you have to really want that for yourself. And I did. I still do. But I would say that if you want to be successful in shooting, that you need to make time to go shoot. I'm busy with school. I'm dedicated to school and shooting, but I also have to make more time for my shooting because I feel like the time that I have now is not enough. Just like Rihanna said she didn't live a normal teenage girl life. That was me too. You know, my friends would invite me over, or we all want to go do something one weekend. Well, I'd say, oh, I can't. I'm going to go shoot. I skipped out on my junior prom mm-hmm. to go shoot somewhere.
Yep, me too. Me too.
And, I mean, you just have to be willing to put in the work if it's something you really want. And I feel like I want it. I feel like Rihanna wants it. So she definitely knows where I'm coming from with all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going to throw a question in there. How do you, or what do you think the most common mistake that a SCTP shooter makes and it holds them back from getting any further?
That's a good question. I do have to say, I see it a lot with my former teammates, is that a lot of them would just go to the team practices, which were maybe once or twice a month. They wouldn't put that extra time in, go up on the weekends or during the week or whatever to really practice. You know, they didn't really get involved with what they were given. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't attend the big competitions, go to states, go to regionals, meet people, and really get that competition experience to propel them into the next level. They were kind of hesitant. They would kind of stand back and really wouldn't put themselves out there. And I struggled with that as well. It wasn't until I got into the NSCA, started meeting a lot of people, shooting a lot of competitions, that I really started to open my shell. And it's made me a better competitor. And I think that's what SCTP kids need to do. And go into the NSCA if they're Sporting Clays shooters. It'll open their target library and really prepare them for those competitions.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I would also like to add in there, you know, one thing that I see a lot of SCTP shooters do, you know, SCTP, you're shooting in a squad, you know, as a team score. In SCA, you're shooting all for yourself. So in SCTP, I saw a lot of people trying to compete with their teammates. Well, start competing, you know, trying to compete with your teammates, you know, then I saw a ton you know, kids will put pressure on themselves and they start dropping birds, you know, birds they shouldn't be dropping. So I feel like that was a big thing for, you know, at least people on my team when I was, shooting SCTP, that they didn't have the confidence in themselves that they should have. And I feel like if, you know, like Rihanna said, go out and get the experience, if they had confidence in themselves, they wouldn't be sitting here trying to compete with each other, worry about who's doing what and what they're shooting, how many targets they've dropped. You know, they should be worried about themselves, be confident in themselves. And if you're confident in yourself, you'll do great.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. Now, let me ask you this. The you know, we've talked about this before on past podcasts. The SCTP targets, you know, are supposed to be easier. Okay. So compare SCTP targets to NSCA targets. And do you believe that being an avid NSCA shooter helped you to propel in SCTP?
I would definitely say yes. So I definitely saw in my shooting that when I first started shooting SCTP and like the youth shoots in South Carolina, I really didn't know like what to do. You know, it was new, something new. This is when I first started, you know, I shot for about two, three years. And then I finally got introduced in the NSCA. And when I got to go and shoot some of the bigger tournaments, some of the, just the register shoots, you know, local register shoots where I got to see, you know, different target presentations, different targets in general, you know, different backgrounds, you know, how a target setter is going to throw this. I definitely will say that by me shooting NSCA targets, it prepared me more for SCTP targets, that it made them, you know, a little bit easier, mm-hmm. in my opinion, just because I was going out and shooting more and really dedicating myself to go get the experience and seeing different targets and how different target setters are going to set targets and, you know, different backgrounds. And I feel like that really just added to my target library, as Rihanna called it earlier, and it prepared me more to shoot a SCTP target than it would have without me shooting an SCA target.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, every SCTP course is different, right? From states to regionals to nationals to all the different clubs. There were some courses where the targets were like charity targets. Mm-hmm. But there were also some where the targets were surprisingly pretty difficult, like at nationals a few years. And so, yes, being active in the NSCA and having that mature, well-rounded target library certainly helped propel me in the SCTP.
Traveling around the country like both of you do, you get to see a wide variety of everybody's targets, you know, and taking that back to it helps you in NSCA and SCTP. So, I mean, I think that you've both probably had the benefit of seeing those by being able to travel like you have, and it probably helped you in what you've been doing. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. What do you think about the people that can't travel around to all the NSCA targets? Do you think they may have a harder time with SCTP targets because of that?
So definitely not. I mean, SCTP is supposed to be easier than NSCA.
Right.
It's supposed to be that, you know, push into the sport, that initial, you know, program that really draws the interest of the shooters. That's what it's meant for. It's meant to build teamwork and teach gun safety and really spark that interest in the youth, which ultimately grows our sport and is better for all of us. So, I mean, no, I've met plenty of shooters. Like, for example, Dallas Ward. She is an amazing SCTP shooter, sporting clay shooter, you name it. And she doesn't travel to the big NSCA tournaments like Madison and I do, but I always had a run for my money when I was competing with her in SCTP. So definitely not. As long as you have a range nearby with good targets and you're dedicated and you go out and you practice in the rain, in the wind, and all those conditions where you're going to have to shoot in competition, you shouldn't have much of a disadvantage. I mean, well, those that do compete in NSCA definitely do have an advantage, but as long as you're dedicated and you have the time and the motivation, those SCTP shooters should be just fine.
I definitely would agree with Rihanna. I don't think that it's necessarily going to hurt a shooter to not be able to go shoot the bigger targets, not be able to see, you know, different target presentations. I feel like that it gives a shooter an advantage who does shoot an SCA targets and then can go back and just shoot SCTP targets, I feel like it expands their, you know, shooting library, and it gives them more of a confidence, you know, because if they're able to go hit hard targets, fast targets, you know, far targets, you know, you're going to have a better confidence level, higher confidence level, that you're going to be able to hit the stuff that's easy, the stuff that's up close, the slow stuff. So I would definitely agree with Rihanna on what she said too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Rihanna, what college do you attend right now?
So I attend the University of Florida. Mm-hmm. And we do have a club team, thankfully. It's not that developed, but I'm slowly trying to work through it all. One of my former Young Guns teammates actually helped get the team going a few years ago. And since I've joined, I've really tried to help it grow from the sidelines, since my classes are online and I'm at home. But I took over the Instagram page. We got team vests. They've been traveling to quite a few shoots. And we actually have a fundraiser shoot in Bradford in March. So we're trying. We're trying to get there.
What about you, Madison? Where are you going to college?
So I attend Clemson University. I'm a sophomore majoring in food science and human nutrition. Hopefully, I'm going to go to pharmacy school after. Mm-hmm. But we do have a shooting team. It's a smaller club team. You know, it's a whole lot of fun. There's about 30 people on the team. We practice. We have practice open Monday through Friday. And then on the weekend, usually, you know, a few people from the team, they'll go out and go shoot at a different place, you know, across the state. And it's good. It's a good time to be able to bond with your teammates and, you know, learn from each other and help each other. And, you know, just have a team that's going to be dedicated and shoot the best that we can and be able to compete with, you know, other good teams like Rihanna's and, you know, just other teams across the country. So I feel like we're really fortunate to have what we have.
Yeah. Yeah. So Madison, being a full-time college student, how hard is it for you to stay competitive with everything going on in school?
Yeah. So I don't want to say this is lucky, but you know, it plays out for me. So since COVID hit and everything, we've been pretty much online for school. So with that being said, I'm able to go travel and I can actually do my schoolwork there. The only time I have trouble with it is, you know, when, say, if I'm going to shoot a prelim on a Friday, well, I have to watch my time schedules because I might have class that Friday. Or my travel schedule, I have to travel around my class time because I don't need to miss class. I'm pretty dedicated to my schoolwork. You know, school comes first before anything, and then my shooting. But it's difficult to be able to juggle school and practice, and especially being able to have enough time for your family. It's pretty difficult. So,
I 100% agree with Madison there. I mean, the past two competitions, the Southeast Regionals and the state, I had about six finals falling into those 2 weeks. So I was going and shooting events, coming back to the hotel and taking exams. And Madison can attest to that. You know, we try to hang out with our schedules while we were at these shoots, but we were just constantly having exams. And it's tough, you know. And growing up, my number one priority has always been school. And like I said earlier, living almost 2 hours away from the range makes it hard to compete against those with people that literally have ranges in their backyard. You know, Madison and I, we don't attend some local community college with the phrase "B's get degrees" plastered on our foreheads. I mean, we go to top-notch schools. And like she said, she plans on going to pharmacy school. I plan on going to veterinary school. So we have to get good grades. We have to make school our number one priority.
Yeah.
So yes, it is extremely tough, but thankfully my sponsors know that and they encourage me to put school first. So I'm really blessed to have their support instead of the added pressures of needing to attend a certain amount of shoots or needing to perform at a certain level. So yes, it is extremely tough being a full-time college student and competing, but like Madison said, I have been home and I have been online, so it has been a little bit easier going to practices, but overall it is really tough.
Yeah. Well, when you have time to practice, what does it take for you to make it feel like you had a great practice? And what is your practice schedule?
So, I mean, even though I am online, I still rarely find time to go and practice during the week. So I typically practice Saturdays and Sundays like I usually do. I'll shoot maybe a flat or two each day, and, you know, just rebuilding that confidence and knocking the rust off every single time I go out, it helps. Like I said, I can't practice like a fiend. I can't practice multiple times a week. So each time I practice, I kind of have to slowly rebuild myself. And that's why I go and I shoot two flats a day or something like that, just because I don't have that time. When Mike was here, almost every time I'd go to Quail Creek on the weekends, I would schedule a lesson with him, simply because I live 2 hours away and I wanted to make the best out of my practices, you know? And, I think that's kind of why I excelled pretty early in my shooting career. But yeah, practice is practice, and practice tries to make perfect. You're never going to get there, but, I can't practice as much as I'd like to, but, I make the most of it when I can.
So I would definitely have to agree with Rihanna. You know, even though we're online, we're still, my schedule's tight, you know. You know, just trying to find a little bit of time for me to go practice, which is very rare. Since I've been in college, I don't get to practice that much, honestly. But when I do, you know, sometimes I might go shoot two boxes. Sometimes I might go shoot two flats. It really depends on the day that I'm having. I feel like if I go there and I can do what I want to do in two or three boxes, and I'm confident and I'm happy with my shooting and I'm happy with the way I'm performing and my mind's thinking, then I feel like that's all I need to practice. But if I go there and I, you know, kind of starting off a little slow and not really performing the way I want to, you know, I'll practice until I feel like I have worked everything out and I'm back confident again. I know I can do it. You know, just trying to keep my mind in a good, positive attitude. And I definitely think that a great practice comes from a positive attitude. And definitely, you know, when I'm shooting solid breaks, when the target just explodes, that gives me so much confidence. And that is what makes a good practice for me.
All right. So what do you two do to prepare for a tournament? As far as, you know, you start preparing a month ahead of time, a week ahead of time. You know, what do you do to prepare to get yourself in the right mindset or whatever it may be for a tournament?
So for me, I take, you know, each tournament, and I'm very serious about it. So like the Southeast Regionals, I've been preparing myself for the Gator Cup since that'll be the next one, since the Southeast Regionals. And I've taken everything that I did at Southeast Regionals, and I've kind of analyzed it, and I've looked back at what I've done bad, and I look back at what I've done good. And, you know, I just think about it. Sometimes I'll write things down. I'll make notes of it. And really, from there, I see what else I need to do in order for me to be better, to do better, to shoot better, for me to think better of myself as far as confidence-wise. I also try to eat healthy. I exercise. I mean, I try and stay on a good sleep schedule, especially like the week before. I try and, you know, do the same thing every day leading up to the tournament a week before, because I want it to be the same while I'm competing. I even read like positive quotes. I'll go search up things like that and I'll go read those. Just little things like that that kind of boost my confidence. I practice if I can. And I just really try to perfect my life, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. You know, even though nobody lives a perfect life, but I try to perfect it in a way that it's going to make my shooting, you know, be the best it can be.
So, luckily, I live in Florida. And while a lot of states have winters or off seasons, I don't. So, when people say, oh, when do you start preparing for a tournament? I'm preparing all year round, you know. My schedule doesn't really change. Weekends is when I practice. When I was in high school and I was actually physically in class, and I'd come home and do homework on nights before a huge tournament, I might go out to my trap and skeet range and shoot a little bit just to get the gun moving, you know, and build that confidence. But yeah, like I said, weekends is the only time I can practice. And, you know, a week or so before, I try to get into the mindset. I have some notes here that are from years ago, from when Mike first started coaching me, and confidence and everything like that. And Mike still texts me before competitions and tries to get me in the spirit, tries to encourage me. And I do have a playlist that I listen to before I go out and shoot to try to hype me up and build my confidence. And I don't know about anyone else, but I guess I'm kind of weird, but I have target presentations constantly flowing through my mind. Like, a day does not go by without me thinking about different target presentations or how much lead I need to give a certain target, and just thinking about those combinations and things that I've struggled with, things that I excel at, because, like I said, I can't practice as much as I'd like to, but watching videos of me shoot and watching stuff like that and thinking about presentations, what I might see, you know, if I'm going to a range I've been to before for a competition, I know what the background's like. I typically know what kind of targets they're going to set there. So I try to think about that before I go to the competition and compete.
A big topic in the sport is mental game. How do you think the mental game is different for men and women?
Great question. So everyone says that this game is 10% skill and 90% mental. How much of that is true? Not sure, but that's what typically a lot of people like to go on. And when prompted with this question, you know, why aren't female scores as high as men's? People seem to attack the supposedly smaller percentage instead of that 90%, which is the mental game. And while physical attributes like strength may contribute to the lower scores of females, people tend to forget that the male's mind is completely different from a female's mind. I mean, us females tend to overthink everything, which can be a recipe for disaster in sporting plays. You know, when we miss a play target, we'll most likely overanalyze a target, which can result in the eyes drifting to the barrel, and the rest is history. It's just a whole mess, a whirlpool of loss of confidence and that sort. We tend to worry about what people think of us instead of just getting the job done, shooting the target. We can sometimes lack that self-confidence, especially when competing in a male-dominated sport. Men tend to have that aggressive, macho, I don't give a care attitude, and can ultimately help their confidence and overall performance in the shooting world. But, you know, I'm not saying every male and female is like this, but I'm just generalizing. And I'm also not saying that females will never be able to put up scores with top males, because we've already proven that we can. I'm just saying it may take a little more time, and that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, Madison, you feel the same way?
I actually do, you know. I feel like in a male-dominant sport, you know, they know that – I don't want to say this is, like, their sport, but they know they're going to be at the top. Not saying that females can't do it, because it's been done before, like Rihanna said, it has. But, you know, mostly a male is going to overrule a female in this sport. That's just how it is. And I've accepted it. I've always, you know, once you reach masterclass, you know, it's something I've always wanted to, you know, place a masterclass at a regional or nationals. I feel like that would be pretty cool. That would give me a lot of confidence to say, you know, well, if he can do it, I can do it, you know.
Yep.
I feel like that males, they, like Rihanna said, they have a lot more upper body strength. They can handle a gun, you know, whole lot better and easier. I feel like, not saying that we can't, but we can. It's just, I feel like it comes more natural to a male than it does to a female. You know, they have more confidence. Yeah. They're more aggressive, like she said. I like how she described that. They're definitely more aggressive than a female. Females overthink everything. I know I overthink everything. I can turn a good score into a bad score really quick. I'll be the first one to admit that. When I start thinking, you know, it's game over. So
you don't need to think on the course. You just need to go out and pull the trigger then.
Yeah, it's harder than it sounds.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a pre-shot routine, but I don't go out there and, like, think, oh, my gosh, I'm going to miss this target, you know. Like, I don't do that. I try and stay confident in myself.
Yeah. Let me ask you, too, this. All right, so you're at a station, and you've got you're the first shooter in the squad, and then it's been backed up, so you have, you know, another squad behind you, and maybe another squad behind them. Does it bother you to be up there in the box shooting when all of those people are behind you? Do you think about stuff like that? Is that something that you worry about?
I mean, just starting out, yes, it probably would have, just because when I first started, I had terrible nerves. Like, I'm talking weeks before a tournament, I wouldn't be able to eat. I'd be nervous, wouldn't be able to sleep. It was bad, and I thought for sure I would never get over it. But until I started competing in the big NSCA tournaments, those nerves finally subsided. Mm-hmm. Thank God. But nowadays, it doesn't bother me, simply because I've been in that situation a bunch of times before. I've been in shoot-offs before where people are looking at me. I've been in shoot-offs with male shooters, you know, people bending against me. So, right. I mean, I've been in those situations now, so I'm kind of accustomed to it. Doesn't really bother me as much.
Yeah, I would say the same. I would say, you know, at the very beginning when I first started shooting, you know, I would be pretty nervous to go up there and, you know, have all these people watching me. You know, they're going to watch me, and what if I miss? You know, that was my first thought. What if I miss? And they're going to see me miss, and then they're going to think that I can't shoot. But now, you know, you have to be okay with missing, because nobody's perfect. You know, I believe that, you know, you should trust every target that you're shooting at. You know, trust your eyes, trust your mind, be real confident in yourself. And if you do that, you're going to hit as many as you possibly can, as many as you're, you know. But I also feel like now, at least for my shooting arena, said the same thing, that, you know, if a station's backed up with all these people, I can go up there. It's not going to bother me. You know, it's just like the station we shot before where nobody was watching. Right. I guess because, you know, you've ever been in a shoot-off, you've ever been to a station where it's backed up, you know, once you do that a couple of times, you get more relaxed, you're not nervous, you're okay with it, and you just get up there and you shoot and you do your thing, and then you walk out the station.
So you two being friends, and I'm sure you have a lot more friends in the sport, how does that change the perspective of the game to you?
I would definitely say, you know, I'm very fortunate and blessed to have Rihanna as a friend. There is more males that shoot in the sport, like we talked about earlier, than females. But the small amount of females in the sport, I feel like they are very competitive. With that being said, you know, you have a lot of people, you know, rooting against you. I found Rihanna, and, you know, I cheer her on. You know, if I can't do it, I want her to do it so bad. We actually got to shoot the speed task event at Southeast Regionals. And, you know, I was having so much fun that, you know, I wouldn't even worry about score. At the end of the day, I knew that I got to shoot with Rihanna. I was so happy to be able to do that. And we had a lot of fun. We were able to talk in between, you know, between the park horse and stuff like that. And, you know, it's something special to me that I'm able to go out with another female and shoot, because, you know, most of the time you're shooting with other males. So I feel like that it's something pretty special that I'm able to go do with Rihanna.
Yeah.
And, you know, even aside of us shooting, you know, we still hang out and we text and we talk to each other. So I feel like that's something that, you know, I'm able to say, hey, I have Rihanna as my friend. What do you have? You know?
Right. Right.
That's so sweet.
You probably feel the same, don't you, Rihanna?
So, 100%. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. I can't tell you how many people I've come across who look for that one person on the scoreboard to see if they beat that person, or they get nasty when they lose. And that's not what this game is about. It's meant to be fun. And, you know, Madison and I have a great relationship. If, like she said, if one of us has an off day, we root for the other one to win. And like she said, we were randomly squatted together at the Southeast Regional for Feet Task. And while most people would be nervous or upset to be shooting in the same squad with one of their top competitors, we had an absolute ball. I mean, I shot terrible, but I cheered Madison on the whole way through because she was shooting absolutely lights out. And I couldn't have been more happier when she won. And that's the way it should be. Luckily, there are people like Diane Sorrentino, Desi Edmonds, Grace Callahan, Megan Harrington, Madison, you know, and of course a lot of others who make losing not so bad. You know, we root for each other and we're happy for one another when they win. And that's the way I believe it always should be. it's so much easier competing against your friend than competing against your enemy.
So do you two kind of get in touch with each other before the shoot and try to get the squad together?
No. Okay. It was just that one time we were randomly squatted together, but we always keep in touch during the shoots. You know, how you doing? How is this course? And root each other on, encourage each other. And afterwards, you know, if we have a bad day, we already know that we're hitting the town afterwards and we're having fun together and catching up. So, I mean, either way.
Sacrifices. We've touched on that a little bit, you know, earlier in the episode, but what kind of sacrifices have you had to make to be able to shoot recreationally and even competitively?
Yeah, so like I stated earlier, shooting takes up my weekends. And since I live so far away, I can't really do much on the weekends. And with that came a lot of sacrifice. I was a star volleyball player at my high school, but I had to give up my spot after working really hard to get it, simply because I love shooting more and volleyball games were on the weekend and I needed to focus my dedication on shooting. I am a horseback rider as well, and I did all of that on the weekends too. And I had to give that up for a few years because I was dedicating my time to shooting and I wanted to solely focus on that as well as school. And that absolutely broke my heart. Luckily, I'm at home now, and I do have times in my schedule in the mornings where I can go to the barn and I can work horses and help my trainer and stuff like that, which is really sentimental to me. And I'm happy I'm doing that again. But I, like I said earlier, I pretty much gave up my social life. I didn't live typical teenage girl life, going to parties, hanging out with friends on weekends, going to the movies. I mean, I was school, coming home, doing homework, and then shooting on weekends. Car rides up, I was doing homework, same on the way back, same going to competitions as well. And you really have to pick something that you're passionate about and really dedicate your time to it if you plan on excelling, because you can't, this isn't a sport where you can do 50 billion other things as well if you really want to succeed. So, yep. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
You know, I also would agree with Rihanna. She said a lot of truth right there. You know, going out, want to go shoot on the weekends or practice, you know, if you go to practice, you also have to make sure, you know, okay, well, I've got to get my schoolwork done before I go to practice because school's first, you know. And then as far as competitions, you know, it's a lot of time away from my family. I'm a homebody. I don't like to be away from my house. You know, if somebody said, oh, we're going here for a month, do you want to come? I'd say, no way. I'd rather stay at my house, you know, be here by myself with my family, whatever. So I am away from my family a lot. And especially, you know, church. So I am a Christian, and I do love to go to church on Sundays, which, you know, if we're shooting somewhere out of state or it's a two-day tournament, I don't get to go to church, which is something very dear to me. Mm-hmm. But besides that, you know, you just have to be able to juggle your time, right? You have to be able to plan and schedule, be organized, and make time, you know, to study, make time to be able to go practice, make time to go shoot, and schedule everything, you know, the way you can make a plan and stick to that plan where you have time for school and shooting.
Right. You were just mentioning your family. How supportive has your family been in your shooting career, and who's your biggest fan, Madison?
My family is my biggest supporters. I literally could not do this without them, especially my parents, mom and my dad. You know, sometimes they aren't able to go and watch me. And it makes me really appreciate everything they've done for me. Because without them, I would not be living the life that I live now. I would not be able to get up and say, hey, I'm going to go shoot at this range, you know, and be able to go to this tournament in this state or this tournament at this state. So they definitely are my biggest support system. And I guess my number one supporter, it would be a tie between, you know, my mom and my dad. I think sometimes my dad wants it worse than I do. So whether he's there or not, he is always talking me up, you know, being confident toward me, telling me I can do it, which I think helped me so much for me to know how much my parents care about me and love me and want to see me, you know, succeed in something that I have a passion about, you know, it just means a lot to me that they would sacrifice as much as they do for me to be able, for me to be able to enjoy what I love to do.
Yeah, I mean, I can't agree more. I can't possibly speak highly enough about my family and the support they've given me these past few years. I mean, we all know this ain't no cheap sport, but they never complain or talk about how much of a burden my practices are at all. I mean, they're just 100% supportive and for me, and I can't be more thankful. You know, my daddy, he drives me to practices so I can do my homework in the car. If not, and sometimes I try to take the drive as well because it's pretty long. And he comes to the range with me every practice, every weekend, and pulls for me. He's always there. And my parents travel with me to competition and support me to the end. I mean, I can't possibly thank them enough. They've sacrificed just as much, if not more, than I have. And I wouldn't be who I am today without them. Both of my parents are my biggest fans. But like Madison said, I think my dad sometimes wants it more than I do. If I had to choose, I'd say my dad. But overall, just not just my parents, my entire family, they are so supportive of me, checking in on me, and doing everything they can to help me achieve my dreams. And I couldn't be more blessed.
Rihanna, does your dad shoot with you, or does he just pull for you?
So when I first started, he kind of taught me the very basics, gun safety, how to shoot a clay target. He was the one who was really pushing me and helping me grow in the sport in the very, very beginning. And back then when I didn't know a whole lot of people, he would shoot with me. And every once in a while he'll shoot the Gator Cup with me this year if I can. And he will try to shoot with me every once in a while, but it's reached a point where he's like, this isn't my sport. I'm not the one, you know, I'd rather save the money and spend it on you because you're the one who's competing. And I can't be any more thankful because I know that he loves it. And I try to get him out to local shoots every once in a while. And he does love to shoot. But we've kind of reached a point in my shooting career where he would much rather spend that money and spend that time on me. And I feel selfish for saying that. But I'm grateful. And I wish he'd shoot with me more. But can't always have everything.
That's right. Madison, how about you? Does your dad, mom shoot with you?
My dad, you know, when I first started like Rihanna, he would go out and he would shoot with me. You know, he'd try and help me a little bit. My dad, he is a awesome man. I mean, I could not ask for a better father than him. I'm very grateful for him and my mom too. But you know, now it's not really him going out to shoot with me. It's more of him coming to watch me. One thing that we love to do together is to go hunting. I mean, we love to dove hunt and duck hunt. And that is our thing. So when we get to go do that, that's really us being able to spend time together and bond together. And we both just love it to death. You know, it's really fun. We have a good time with friends and family. And so I'm just really grateful that I have those opportunities as well.
Yeah, and Madison, you bring up a great topic. I mean, my dad formed a really good bond with me through shooting and hunting, and it's really drawn us closer together. You know, not a lot of females can say that they have such a good bond with their fathers, and the shooting sports and hunting and all of that has really helped. And he's my best friend. He does everything for me. We do everything together. And even though he doesn't shoot with me that much, he still enjoys watching me just as much. And I'm really thankful for that father-daughter bond.
Another big question is, and this has been brought up several times, is what do you think would get more women involved in clay target sports?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, lately, I've really been loving how gun manufacturers have progressively come out with guns tailored for ladies. You know, Cesar Guarini came out with Siren. Krieghoff recently came out with the Victoria and everything like that. And those husbands or those boyfriends or friends or whatever can really start getting their significant others into shooting, or their daughters or whatsoever, because there is a gun that fits and is comfortable. A lot of females run away from the recoil or the improper gun fit, and these guns are tailored for that, and I really like that idea. As the sport continues to grow, I feel like more lady shooters will eventually get involved. But ultimately, promoting our lady shooters that we have now and being role models for those young girls will help keep female interest flowing in this sport.
I mean, I totally agree. You know, a lot of females, when they think of the word gun, they think scary, like, I don't want to touch that, you know, guns are bad. It's not the gun, it's the operator. I will be the first to say that. So I feel like, you know, if you take somebody and you educate them, you know, and you can educate them in a safe and fun way, you know, show them, hey, let's go shoot some clays. I feel like that would raise more interest in women wanting to go shoot clays. Like Rihanna said, it's a whole bond thing, you know, between you and your significant other, or between a father and a daughter, or, you know, just anybody who wants to get out there and shoot, but especially women. I do feel like, you know, like they're advertising now for more guns, you know, geared toward women, which I think is great. And I will say, you know, when I was younger, I was scared of the recoil. That was a big thing for me. So when I finally figured out, you know, proper way to hold the gun, you know, so it's not going to hit me as bad, you know, I'll shoot low recoil shells. I fell in love with it. And I did from the beginning, but I didn't like the recoil. So I definitely think, you know, as the shooting world advances, there'll be more ways to get more ladies involved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Madison, what you said is really great, because when we educate those males that are getting those females into the shooting sport with smaller gauges like 20 or 410, 28 that reduce the recoil, smaller shot sizes, that sort of thing, it will ultimately keep the interest flowing and prevent the females from getting scared away from that recoil, from the heavy gun. And I feel like if we're all educated on how to tailor to a youth shooter or a female shooter, that will ultimately help our sport grow.
Yeah. What, Rihanna, what gun would you recommend a beginning lady shooter choose to shoot? What gun would you recommend her shoot?
Well, it all depends on the age and, you know, the stature and what sort, but a young shooter, I would say a semi-automatic, maybe 20 gauge, light loads, 1200 feet per second, 1 ounce, mm-hmm. things that will really reduce the recoil and improve the experience for the shooter to keep going, and really progress in the sport. If it's a lady like me or older, over and unders are fine. 20 gauge probably to start out. It really just depends on the shooter, if they're really susceptible to that recoil, if they can handle a heavier gun. Automatics, I feel like, are really the way to go for first time shooters, just because it's lighter, and when you put light loads in, it reduces that recoil, and ultimately creates a great experience for the shooter that really wants them to continue.
Yeah, Madison, you probably feel the same way, don't you?
I do. I started off with a semi-automatic 20 gauge. And I'm glad I did, honestly, because, I mean, the gun was still too big for me because I was an 11-year-old little girl, but I couldn't have been able to handle a 12 gauge, especially my size, you know, my age at the time. And I definitely feel like, you know, you don't want to start somebody off with something big or something that's going to kick a lot and scare them out of it. You want to start them off, you know, something that's smaller, light load, that's going to not have so much recoil. You want them to enjoy it, not be scared of it, not be able to say, oh, I don't want to shoot again because that hurt my shoulder, you know, or it's leaving bruises. You don't want to do that. You want to start off with something small and light, like Rihanna was talking about. So I definitely think that a semi-automatic, you know, is the way to go. I would say, depending on size, you know, whether you shoot a 20 gauge or a 12 gauge, because you can get 7/8 ounce in a 12 gauge that are very low recoil shells. So mm-hmm. It just really depends on your preference, I feel like.
Yeah. All right. Big question, Madison. What's your future goals in shooting?
So I've always wanted to make Team USA. So that is ultimately my goal. And Team USA for the sporting side, I would like to make CTAS too, but I'm geared more towards the sporting side. Mm-hmm. And I would also like to win a national championship and a world title at some point in my shooting career.
So you want all the big titles?
I do. I'm going to go big or go home.
What about a U.S. Open? You want to win that?
I would love to win it. Right. I would love to win, you know, the regional.
Just add them all to the pot, huh?
That's right. Yeah. Hopefully I can do it one day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you got the talent to do it. Rihanna, you feel the same way. What's your future goals in shooting?
I mean, absolutely what Madison said. I mean, it's hard to say just how active I will be in the years to come just because school is so rigorous and going to vet school and everything. But I'm going to do everything in my power to keep competing regardless of how tough life gets. If you ask Mike, my very first lesson, he asked, what's your goal? What's the one thing you want to strive for? And he'll tell you, I said, I want to make Team USA. And that is still my goal, my ultimate goal. I won't stop fighting until I make it. Mm-hmm. And like Madison said, too, you know, national championship, world championship, all of that. Luckily, shooting is a sport that you can compete in your entire life. And yep. We've got plenty of time to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, go big or go home, just like she said. Why not win the whole thing? I mean, beat the guys too, you know?
Yeah.
Bigger the goals you set for yourself, the more you're likely to strive for those goals. And, you know, I encourage shooters to keep making goals. If you reach that goal, like I created a goal to make HOA at the SCTP Nationals for ladies, and I did that. And I didn't stop there. I kept making goals, and that's what ultimately creates a better shooter and a more driven shooter.
Rianne, I know you have some sponsors that have helped you getting where you are. Who are those?
Yes, I have been blessed to have Krieghoff International and DuPont Krieghoff as like a co-sponsorship. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed to have their support since 2018, as well as Granny from PMS Firearms for my pilas and ear protection. Mm-hmm. And I'm also extremely happy to be a part of Team Remington for this upcoming 2021 season. I've been shooting Remington STS ever since I started competing. Mike got me hooked on those shells, and even though I was told about a year or two ago that they don't offer any sponsorships, me being the stubborn person I am, I stuck with the shell. I didn't change just because I was confident in it. And when I got that phone call, I mean, I almost burst into tears. So I'm really, really excited for that future. And I can't thank my sponsors enough for not only believing in me, but for being so encouraging and understanding with school. You know, I wouldn't be at the level I am today without their incredible support. And so for that, I'm very grateful.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that new Remington sponsorship. I saw that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Madison, what about you?
You know, I'm very blessed and fortunate. I would definitely have to say that my number one sponsor is my parents. Mm-hmm. Because they've just been there for me through thick and thin. You know, there's no other sponsor that's going to, you know, outdo them. I mean, they've been there since day one. But besides them, you know, I have a couple other. I'm also sponsored by Pure Gold Chokes. Mm-hmm. Mr. Bill and Miss Cindy, they're very good to me. I really appreciate everything they do. Woody's Pawn Jewelry, they are great. I mean, I could not speak, you know, any highly of them. They, Chan and Jenny Hallman, they are just the greatest people ever. I couldn't do this without them either. Three Dragons, Mr. Justin Jones, he's an awesome person. He's really supported me and encouraged me. And Copeland's Custom Gun Stocks, Jasper has been great, and he's helped me finally get a gun that fits me. So I'm really excited for the 2021 season to see how far that can take me.
Well, good. Ladies, well, I've had a great time talking to you. Interesting stories from both of you. Very determined individuals. I wish you all the best in the future, and I look forward to seeing you at the next shoot.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.